1340, and those listening on the free WRHI app. If you don't have the app, just download it when you can and take us on the go.
Good morning to those watching us on Comporium Cable Channel 103 and Facebook Live.
We want you to lean in closely this morning because there is an international story that's making some headlines here at home, because it is important to know what's going on in the world, not just what's going on in your own zip code. We're so excited to welcome in Sharon Mass-Harry. You might know him from York Technical College. He is the department chair for the teleproduction technology department. And Sharon, my gosh, our paths have crossed each other many years for sure. But you've got a very interesting connection in a story. You're Iranian. So if you can, tell us about the significance of what is happening on this Saturday, September the 16th.
First of all, thank you so much for the opportunity. Secondly, this September 16 denotes 1 year since a young Kurdish woman that came to Tehran, Iran, to look for a place to live in hopes of going to university. So the moral security arrests her because allegedly she had bad hijab and face covering and hair covering. And so they force her into a van. And she resists and keeps saying that, this is proper hijab. I'm not violating anything. So they bang her head against the interior of the van 20 times. Because of brain damage, she's hospitalized 3 days after she dies. When she dies, the entire nation of Iran erupts in protest. And September 16 is the day that Mahsa Amini, the 22-year-old Kurdish woman who died in the hands of the security forces in the Islamic Republic of Iran.
It's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking because the basic human rights we know do not exist there, especially for women, but a lot of the citizens. And what would it be like, boots on the ground there, to be, I hate to even use the word citizen, but to be a civilian, a person living over there with the lack of democracy, the lack of human rights?
Well, maybe I can rephrase that or kind of answer it in a different way, that what do the people of Iran want?
There you go.
And then we can kind of address your question. The people want the regime to be in compliance with human rights parameters that are basic rights for all people around the world. They want women's rights. They want gender equality. They don't want gender apartheid. They don't want any mandatory head covering. They want to be free roaming around. They don't want any chemical attacks on schoolgirls, which have happened in the past 10 years or so. A lot of people have killed. The security guard shoots women within a 6 feet distance in the eye. Many young people have lost their eyesight because of that. They want secular democracy. They want freedom of expression, job opportunities, better health care, and better relationship with the rest of the world. The Iranian people do not want their government to be the largest, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism. And they don't want any corruption. The IRGC, which is the military wing of the regime, basically controls all economic, all financial activities across Iran, just like a mafia. And they don't want university professors like me to be laid off because, of some bogus charges against them. So when you're roaming around the streets of Tehran, which is the capital of Iran, or the streets of Iran, that is what people are scared of. That is what they don't know the next time they're going to be told to stay and walk on a straight line. And they don't know the next time that somebody's going to come in and say, hey, we don't like the way you look. Let us have your cell phone. And they're going to incarcerate you. And then they're going to charge you millions of tumans, thousands of dollars to get out of prison. The prison system, the justice system, it's lopsided. At
wow.
Least.
So what will it take to change that, though, Sharam? I mean, this has been a way of life for so long. It's not like you can come in and flip the switch, or can you? But how does things change for the folks there?
Things change. First, they have to have internal protests. And young people, young women of Iran are not sitting down. They're not sitting down, and they're constantly fighting in every aspect of life. Mind you, that 62% of the university students are women. So the regime is constant conflict with the younger generation, and they just can't topple this younger generation. They've been out in the streets for more than a year, and for the past 44 years of the Islamic Republic's ruling of Iran, this is the very first time that the entire world gets to know exactly what's going on in that nation. So internally, something has to happen. Externally and internationally, we need to do something about that. We need to tell Mr. Biden that he cannot sit across from terrorists to negotiate. He cannot release billions of dollars under Obama administration and now under Joe Biden's administration, me being a nonpartisan person. So this is not a partisan talk.
He's our guy.
Yeah.
So I'm not here on a partisan or ideological mission here. But, you know, the world cannot be silent about what's going on in Iran. So we need people to help the Iranians and kind of lift them up, because they're looking for democracy. They're looking for their voices. We are being the voice of the voiceless this morning, mm-hmm. and across the world on Saturday, September 16. So that's what needs to happen. People of the world need to come and support the Iranians, but let the Iranians do their own thing. Let them accomplish what they want. Let them change their society, and hopefully one of these days to have a democratic nation.
My goodness. It's so educational for us who maybe do not know the history or the culture and the turmoil. Mm-hmm. And as you were educating earlier, we glazed over it quickly, but there's so much behind what you're saying here with these hostage negotiations and the billions of dollars that our government is exchanging for American citizens. And you had mentioned earlier hostage taking. That mm-hmm. is a signature activity. Just real briefly, bring people up to speed. What happens there?
Ever since 1979, when the Islamic regime came to power, the Iranian government has taken hostages. We don't forget that they took the American hostages out of the American embassy and held them for 444 days. So, and they've been very successful. They've been the bully of the world, that anytime any governmental official from outside, meaning the United States, the British, the French, the Swedish, and so forth, if you say anything against them, they will just go ahead and incarcerate and arrest even diplomats. As we speak right now, for the past 500 days, the Swedish envoy has been in the Iranian prison. So what does the Iranian government want? Well, if you want to release these people, then you're going to pay billions of dollars. And they know it's good business, because they take hostages, we pay them. They take hostages again, we pay them again. So this is a failed policy, in my opinion. Mm. You know, the ransom and this hostage in political circles, they call them hostage diplomacy. This doesn't work. It has never worked negotiating mm-hmm. with terrorists. It's not going to get us anywhere. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Biden's administration needs to take a close look. Why is it that on September 11th, the Biden administration releases $6 billion of money to a terrorist government? So to me, that is not only the slap in the face of the Americans, but also the slap in the faces of 82 million Iranians that are trying to secure democracy, mm-hmm. trying to secure the rule of law, economic development, free education, and no persecution in Iran. So that's the mess that we are in Iran, and it needs to end. It needs to end today.
And that why goes back to the political drama with oil, where we're receiving oil, the military weapons. It all goes back to these politics, but failed politics, as you're saying, over the years. Well, we're so grateful that you're bringing a voice to what may be the voiceless, but I don't even like to use that word, because you said it clearly, that this next generation is fighting, and they're fighting the battle for themselves, and they're succeeding slowly but surely, and we have to say kudos to them. But any help that can be had, please keep educating us, this community, and those listening and watching. Ask questions. It is okay not to know. Lucas and I had many questions, and we're so grateful for you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you can do your part. Lean in, listen, and on this Saturday, do what you can. What can we do on Saturday, Sharam? What can the folks listening here in York County, Lancaster County, Chester County, and beyond do this Saturday?
On Saturday, we need to think about what we can do to support the Iranians. And I don't know how much time we have.
Probably about a minute.
But don't be silent about human rights abuses in Iran. Support the Iranian-friendly policies in America. Not the Islamic Republic of Iran's policy in America. So stop sitting across from the table of at a table of the biggest sponsor of terrorists. So we need to tell our officials enough is enough. We need to call our senators, our House of Representatives. Just a very quick thing, the Mahsa Act was passed unanimously 2 days ago in the House of the U.S. House of Representatives. The votes were 410-3. 410 yeas and 3 nays. So that is the kind of support we're looking for. Iranian people are looking for basic human rights, basic citizenry, and so forth. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity.
Of course. Well, we certainly appreciate you bringing it to our attention. Sharam Masheri, again, is the department chair of teleproduction technology at York Tech, but he's so much more. And we appreciate this history lesson this morning, and we'll move forward in the right direction to help our friends in Iran. Thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much.